SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Arthur and Lisi with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us. Hour number two on the grid is Hit Burbell's trying out some new soundtracks tonight. I'd say we're 50%. We're one for two so far. I like the one before that one. That one that we just busted out. Maybe wouldn't be bad in a regular break. I don't know if it's a good top of the hour Kickstarter that you have there. We're watching lots of live games, lots of hockey tonight, lots of hoops. We've got a ton of football to talk about, et cetera, et cetera. Mike Carver with you, sans Joe. Joe out on assignment, which of course means Gentleman George Kurtz, is here with us on the grid. All right, George, I told you I would save this and start the second hour with it. Did you actually sit through the entire 1 hour and 4 minutes of Jerry, Steven, and Brian Schottenheimer, or did you just watch the highlights on Twitter?
Listen, I'm a Cowboy fan all of my life. I don't need to listen to the comment. He says the same thing every time. All right. I went on a rant last night with Gabe on Sports Rage, and I am trying not to be angry again. Mike, it comes down to, I'm 55 years old, right? I saw Roger Staubach play, Tony Dorsett, Randy White, Tootle Jones, Harvey Martin, was around for the 80s with Danny White, you know, certainly the 90s with Troy Aikman. And, you know, hey, I had no problem with people saying, I hate the Cowboys. You may have hated the Cowboys back then, but you had to respect them as well. Now they're just a laughing stock. I don't respect them anymore. It's just a running joke. You know, I mentioned earlier to you that how my Friday night was ruined. First thing for the rant and intrigues, that way now I got to do some work. And then 2 hours later, 10 o'clock Eastern, you get the great old news dump, you know, where Jerry announces that, Schottenheimer's hired. That's all you needed to know about this hire, by the way, is that Jerry Jones, who loves publicity, loves the cameras, he announces at 10 o'clock on a Friday because he knew this was a bad hire. And he knew what was coming, and he announced it at 10 o'clock on a Friday. I'm done. Mike, I'll always be a Cowboys fan. Always. I mean, I'm going to root for the Cowboys. I'm always going to root for the Cowboys. But my days or weeks during football season of living and dying with whether the Cowboys win or lose, that's over. Maybe they go on a nice run at some point in the future, and they'll all be great again, but that's over. Why should I care so much when ownership doesn't? All right? I mean, Jones is a charlatan. He has pulled the wool over all of our eyes, right? Because the only thing he cares about, he wants to be the GM. He wants to play with his toy. He wants to do what he wants to do. And you know what? You own the team. Fine. Go for it. But don't be expecting me to live and die with the Cowboys anymore. That's just not happening. I'm too old for this crap. I'm not doing it. You're a joke. I'm the best man for the job. No, you're not. You're not even close to the best man for the job. It's been 30 freaking years. 30. Since the Cowboys have made a championship game. You know, there's an old saying about the best thing the devil's ever done is convince everyone that he doesn't exist. Well, the best thing that Jerry Jones has ever done is convince people that he cares about winning. He wants to win, sure. He doesn't care about winning. You care about winning, you do the right things. He doesn't care. He wants to do it his way and get all the credit for it. I'm done. I've had it. It's aggravating to see what Jerry, what he's done to this team, this organization over the past pretty much 30 years since Jimmy Johnson left. He's destroyed it.
Now, he, like you say, there's no accountability. And I forget who said this, and I saw somebody bring this up. You know, when you're the general manager of any other team, there's got to be some accountability. When you make bad moves and you make bad decisions and you make bad hires and you make, you know, there's an owner that has got to say, listen, this guy's not getting the job done and he's got to go. Jerry doesn't have that. He doesn't have anyone to answer to in that role as the general manager of the football team. He's the owner. Like there's no one to say you're doing a bad job. You're going to be out. Like there is no, he's going to do that job until he passes away. Now, well, the other thing that has got to make your head spin is, I think that Steven only talked for like 5 minutes of the entire hour and 4 minutes, and I think he actually came across worse than Jerry, especially the part where he used the air quotes for drought. Like,
yes,
it's not happening. Like Steven, like, this isn't made up. The team hasn't won in 30 years. Like, they haven't even been to a title game in 30 years. The air quotes, George, if I was a Cowboy fan, that would be it for me. That would be the one that really sends me over the edge, that they're just poo-pooing the fact that it has been 30 years since they've ever done anything.
Right, and notice how I didn't even mention Brian Schottenheimer. Because the truth is, who knows? Maybe he'll be good, maybe he won't, but it wouldn't matter.
Zach
it doesn't
him.
Matter.
Zach loves
yeah,
him.
I don't think that really makes me feel all that great either. Dak's terrible too. All right, so I don't want to, but it doesn't matter because Jerry was, Deion Sanders, we talked about that. He was never hiring Deion Sanders because Deion would, he would get more publicity than Jerry. He was never happy. He always wants the puppet. And that's what Schottenheimer is. Right? It just doesn't matter. Think about the Cowboys only interviewed four people, although they didn't. In an exhaustive research, according to Jerry, they only interviewed four people. All right, and that was Schottenheimer, Leslie Frazier, Robert Saleh, and I don't know somebody else.
Kellen Moore. Or did they talk?
Kellen Moore.
They were going to. They were going to talk to Kellen Moore if they got to this. If he was still available.
It's just a
week, right. Wasn't that
out? Absolute joke. All he wants is puppets here. That's why I'm not mad at Schottenheimer. Do I think he's a good hire? No. No one had interviewed Schottenheimer for a head coaching role since 2006. That should tell you all you need to know. Or the fact that there were 8 million coaching interviews this coaching cycle, right? I mean, the Jets and Bears did like 40 each, yet no one asked to interview Schottenheimer.
The Bears and the Jets did 40 interviews, and neither of them even considered Brian Schottenheimer to be that coach. But like you said, Jerry knows that he's a guy that would be desperate for that gig, and he will say yes to whatever Jerry puts in front of him. And that's it. Yes, sir. Here we go. Give me what you got. All right. Yeah. Kid, we like this guy. You know, I know that we don't need a pass rusher. I know we don't need this, but I really like this guy. So I'm taking him in the first round. What's Schottenheimer going to say to him? No. I need an offensive lineman. I need it. No, he's got to take whatever Jerry gives him. That's it. Got no say. Whereas McCarthy probably would want, you know,
sad.
Jerry, I need this. You know, and McCarthy was a yes man too, but I guess he wasn't doing it anymore. So he went right out the door. He wasn't going to have it anymore.
We'll see if McCarthy wins, because I think McCarthy thought he'd get another job. Maybe he gets the Saints job and he gets his 4 or 5 year contract. But he did gamble.
I don't know.
If he would have taken a 2-3 year contract, he'd probably still be the Cowboys head coach.
I don't know how you would want the Saint job. Like, that's a tough job, man. They're like the worst cap situation in the league.
Weak division.
It's just not great. It's just not great at all for it. So I don't love that. That's for sure. So there you go. Brian Schottenheimer. In Big D, and Jerry going on and on.
Pretty good in the interview yesterday, right? In the press conference,
I mean, he's probably been waiting his whole life for this, right? I mean, he's been when you've been in the game that long, your dad did it. You've been an assistant for 20 years. Like, he must have at least thought about it at some point in his life, right, George? Like, this has to be something he's thought of. Yeah,
he said. So, he wrote a note to himself that he wanted to be the youngest assistant coach ever to be a coach. So he was thinking about it forever. You know, like I said, maybe he'll end up being decent, but the problem is not just the Dallas coaching hire; they don't have the players either. They're a salary cap mess too. They're not New Orleans, but they're in salary cap hell as well.
They certainly are. 73-70, Kentucky leads Tennessee with 106 to go. Tennessee's missed like 600 threes. They've had so many opportunities to retake the lead in this game, and it has not gone their way. We'll see if they can get it done here in the last minute. We'll give you updated on the hockey when we come back too. Carver and Lisi, George Kurtz in for Joe. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're back. Carver and Lisi, SportsGrid Radio. Sirius XM 159. great to have you with us here on the grid. As we got a couple of these games coming down to the wire. Kentucky on the line. He missed the second, so 74-70, 1 minute left. They got a four-point lead over the Vols. We'll see if the Vols can – I mean, they have just missed a billion threes, and they just missed another one. And they're just going to keep – there you go. Can you just get the twos? Take it inside and get the twos. You guys are – I mean, they're like 3 for 25 from three in the second half. They can't buy a bucket. Oh, and this kid's giving them another crack at it. 40 seconds left. Kentucky turns it over. Can Tennessee just go inside and get a deuce here? They just keep hacking up these awful shots. Like, they just would have gone inside and gotten a couple of buckets, they'd be in the lead by now. But they're probably going to hack up another three here. Yep, there it is. Hack up another one. He missed another three. Another offensive board. Hack up another three. This is pathetic. This is incredible. Are they ever going to hit one? Finally hit one. Took nine misses before they finally make the three. So 74-73, 28.6 seconds left in a good one between those two. Elsewhere with the hockey, unfortunately, the Blackhawks have taken a 3-1 lead on Tampa now as Donato scores. So 3-1 with about 11.5 to go in the third in that game. Hurricanes have opened it up to 4-0 against the Rangers at the Garden. Winnipeg's still up 3-1 in Montreal. Sabres now up 5-2 on the Bruins this evening in Buffalo. Islanders and Colorado are 1-1 going to the third. But I know Colorado was really buzzing towards the end of that second period. They were very close to breaking through. Caps score 2 minutes in Calgary. Pierre-Luc Dubois gives the Caps a 1-0 lead out in Alberta. So we have some of the late-night action that is now underway as well. I told Matias that Laker line was a rat line tonight, and sure enough, the Sixers are up 20, 94-74 in the third quarter. In that, did AD ever come back? I don't believe so. He's only played 10 minutes. So I think AD left the game.
For the rest of the game.
Is he out for the rest of the game? They announced that, yeah, I haven't had my...
An abdomen strain. I
haven't had the look. Oh, he'll be out for weeks with that. Abdomen strain for AD, that'll be forever. You won't see him for weeks. So just unlocked. Lakers are finally starting to get something going. They had 4 wins in a row. Can they break this press here? They fouled them. All right. It's going to be a lot of free throws here between Kentucky and Tennessee down the stretch. What did you think, George, of Pete Carroll with the Raiders? What'd you think of that one? You know, would you rather have Pete Carroll right now than Brian Schottenheimer, I guess, in Dallas? Would you rather have Pete than 73? Well, Pete Carroll.
I mean, Jerry did talk to Pete, right? They had a little phone interview here, and I imagine Pete said, "What? No, I'm not dealing with you, Jerry. That's not happening. There's no way Pete Carroll's going to deal with Jerry Jones. So I don't think he ever had a legitimate shot here. Pete Carroll's a very good coach. I think we all know that. He's a rah-rah guy. And for a 73-year-old, he has more energy than I do. God bless you, Pete. My problem is this. I think he'd be a good coach, Mike, for a team that's close. They just need that coach. You know, you and I are the Yankee fans. When he went from Buck Showalter to Joe Torre, you know, that kind of thing. When Buck got you a certain way, then you need that next coach to get you the rest of the way. The Raiders aren't close. I mean, you got Brock Bowers, Crosby, and that's it. You know, and that's it. I mean, you're not close. You're in a division with, you know, Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Bo Nix, and you have nobody. And you're not getting a quarterback this year either. All right? It's unlikely. You know, I know Sanders and Cam Ward, who knows what they're going to become. What are you going to gamble on Jalen Milroe and hope he becomes something? So, how old's he going to be when this team really could do something again? 75, 76? That's my only issue. Really good coach, but I just don't see the fit here with a team that's starting from square A.
Yeah, you know, it kind of seems like, and Pharrell had this, had Adam Hill on from Las Vegas Review Journal today on Coast to Coast, and he was saying, like, I don't think you can have any expectations that they're going to be, you know, win any Super Bowls with Pete Carroll or do anything like that. I think that your only hope is that he gets the Raiders back to a place where the next guy after him is going to have a much better situation to where they can actually win, whether that's finding a quarterback, cleaning up the roster, doing other things. Like, I don't think you can expect Pete Carroll in 3 or 4 years. By then he's going to be what, George, 76, 77 years old? If he makes it the whole way, like, you can't – I don't think you could expect him to be a Super Bowl contender in that amount of time. I think that he's a – he called him. He said it's a good bridge coach if he could set the next guy up for success and get the Raiders back to the Raiders, you know, and all that stuff, and try to just, you know, remold them a little bit. I mean, these guys live for it, right? Like, they live for this stuff, and they want to have a seat at the table. And Pete's, like I just said, he's got less time than others, you know, because if he's get, you know, next year, if he didn't get a job this year, who's hiring him at 74? Who's hiring him at 75? Who's that, you know, it just, as the years continue to tack on, if he wants to do it that bad, you're going to take, if someone's actually going to offer you to do it, I think you're going to take it. And that's kind of what you got with him, is that he, you know, even though it's probably not conducive to him winning any more Super Bowls, he gets to still coach and be on the sideline and do the day in and day out and all the things that, you know, give him that rush. You know, I guess that's really what it is at the end of the day for him. So God bless and good luck to Pete Carroll in Las Vegas out there with the Raiders. At least, you know, it's a nice place to live. He's got that now. He's, you know, it's not a bad place to be out in Vegas. Kentucky makes his free throw because Tennessee hacked up a couple more bad threes. So Kentucky's going to go into Tennessee and get themselves a victory tonight. That's a tremendous job by them there on the road. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio. George Kurtz in for Joe. We'll come back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159 with you. Carver Sands, Lisi, Joe out on assignment, George Kurtz in for Joe here. Going to the third, man, you ain't kidding. I know it's intermission, George, but this is my first time seeing, like, I mean, there ain't nobody there. I mean, it's just pathetic. They're starting the third period. The place is just empty. Completely empty. What do we got here? A little birthday cupcakes here. Whose birthday is it? Butchie? Ryan Callahan? Somebody's getting a nice sandwich and a cupcake here, George, at the Islander game.
I wonder if they went to Sapienza down the block there. And I used to live in Elmont for about 20 years.
I know they went to, for lunch, they went to the, you know, over the Borelli's over there by the old play, by the old barn.
Because I like that place.
Yeah, I know, because, you know, Butchie Gross always has to tweet out, like, the picture of the chicken parm that he gets everywhere. So he got the chicken parm at Borelli's today, which is a pretty good. I'm about 7 minutes from there south, so I'm really close to the old barn and Borelli's right over in that area. 1-1, they start the third here at the horse track. Buffalo has really teed off on Boston now, George. They are letting it fly. 6-2, they now lead.
Thompson has a hat trick.
Big night. Thompson's got a hat trick, and I believe...
Did Turker get one too?
Yes, he did. He just got an empty netter with 5 minutes to go. So
two
I
hat
guess,
tricks. Wow.
Two hat tricks for the Sabres this evening. Nice job there. Nothing else has changed. I thought that maybe, you know, it would have been typical. I thought Tampa maybe would tease us a little and get it to 3-2 with, you know, by the 5 minute mark, but they haven't been able to do that. They'll probably score with like 2 minutes left, George, and then it's not really teasing us. You know, they'll just probably work out. It teases the wrong way for it. Avalanche, 68 goals in the third period, third most in the NHL. Islanders got to be careful here. Because the Avalanche were buzzing that whole second period, and we'll see if they come out and get it done in this one. What'd you think of Aaron Glenn And that whole, I mean, they love winning the press conferences. They're good at that in New York. They love to win the press conference.
I thought this coaching hiring cycle, I guess if I was going to rank the coaches, it would have been Vrabel one, Ben Johnson two, Aaron Glenn would have been third. So, yeah, I think the Jets made a good hire. But sort of like the Cowboys here, is I know Woody Johnson says all the right things, that he's not going to be involved, he's going to be better at it. How true is that? Because since he's come back from being a diplomat, he's been, you know, as bad as Jerry Jones, as bad as Daniel Snyder was, right? And there have been all sorts of issues here. And then even if he's not, well, what are they doing at quarterback? Are you going to run it back with Aaron Rodgers? You're not bringing Sam Darnold back, you know, if he's a free agent. That's not happening. I don't see Daniel Jones going back, even though it wasn't with the Jets. He's a former Giant. I don't see that working out. Who's your quarterback? Kirk Cousins? I mean, so I don't know if it matters. I think the Jets have decent talent here, and the Islanders have scored, by the way. So I guess they did with they withheld that storm. That was... But as far as the Jets, who's the quarterback, Mike? Yeah. Who is it?
I think it's going to be Rodgers again next year, honestly.
Well, Garrett Wilson wants a first-class ticket out of that. Actually, he wants any ticket out of that place.
Yeah, I agree. I know he's not going to like that. This is a hell of a goal by Holmstrom. Here, George. He picked the corner. He was kind of turning around. Blackwood was on the one side of the net, and he just picked it on the other corner. That's a hell of a goal by him. Great play. And you know what, George? I don't want to get excited because we kind of want him to lose, like you said. You know, that they're playing with a little bit more heart, a little bit more burst lately. Like, they were actually grinding and working pretty hard down there in that zone to make that goal happen. So we'll see if they can now hold this up. They're up 2-1. There's still a very long way to go down there. Yeah, Wilson's not going to be happy if it's Rodgers. But at the end of, in reality, George, what's he going to do? Demand a trade, I guess? You know, I don't think the Jets would do that. I mean, he's still a very, very talented player. I don't think the Jets can get rid of him. I think that they need him to be a part of the solution if they're ever going to actually start to make something happen. But I think they're going to go one more time around with this guy. Barbara and Lisa, Sports Good Radio, SiriusXM 159. George, we're back in.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisa, Sports Grid Radio, SiriusXM 159 with you. I could hear George saying as the music was coming back, man, that didn't last long. So the Islanders had a lead for about 2 minutes, maybe somewhere around there, about 2 minutes of game time. And then shot from the point. Not sure if it was deflected or not, George, but in fact, they're giving it to Manson, so I guess nobody touched it. But it gets through to Sorokin, 2-2. Avalanche and Islanders with 15:21 to go. You know, I don't know what I forget what the number was. Did you see what the total was after two, George, in this game? Was it 4.5? Probably 4.5, I would have to
guess. I think it was 4.5. The Islanders are challenging.
Looking for a little interference. This. You know, Drury touches his blocker. You see, this is one of those plays.
I would not challenge this.
I don't really believe...
You can't put Colorado on a power play right after they. I mean, if they, I don't see where it's interference here. I mean, he's in the crease, definitely. It's a little bit of a bump. He's out before the puck. If they disallow it, this would be the definition of a technical, you know, technically, sure. By letter of the law, yes, but I don't know if they're going to disallow this.
But it's one of those ones, George, that, and I hate some of these rules. It's like the offside rule and this rule. The rule's there because we've had some egregious ones in the past that changed games. But for something like this, it should not take a goal off the board. The small amount of the guy, of Drury, I guess that was, that Yes, did he touch Sorokin's blocker for a nanosecond? Yes, he did. Did it have anything to do with impeding Sorokin from making that save? No. I do not believe so. I really don't.
I just don't challenge this at the 15-minute mark.
No goal. Could you believe that? No goal. Wow. They took it off. Took
all right,
it
hey,
off.
Good view, Patrick Roy. I would not. I'm. You know, for what we've seen them allow goals this season, I'm shocked they did this. We've seen much worse stuff, and they oh no, it's still a goal.
Like,
but I mean, like I said, by letter of the law, by letter of the rule book, yeah, he interfered. But as you said, I don't think it was anything to do with the goal whatsoever here. Right?
Yeah,
hey,
that's
let's catch a
break.
That,
if I was an Avalanche, yeah, that's a good break for the Islanders because I don't. I guess it's a smart. You know, listen, he won the challenge, so it's a smart challenge. That's for sure. And now they come right down the other end. Yeah. And here it comes. I mean, but again, the Avalanche, they've got like 15 or 16 minutes of zone time in this game. Like they ain't going away, George, with 15 minutes to go. They are not going away.
Sorokin's
going
to have to bail them out. I think he's already made about 30 saves, so he's going to have to bail them out for them to win.
he's had a lot of action tonight. 7-2 Sabres. 7-2.
Is someone else going for a hat trick?
Yeah, by the way, did they why do they have ESPN, my app says that Colorado, I don't know if they just haven't taken the other goal down yet, but I'm seeing it's 2-2.
I'm watching the game, it says 2-1, and there's a break in the action. So I don't think anyone, unless I'm way behind, they're going to score right up this draw. And we're all way behind
because the game's streaming on this ESPN Plus Hulu thing tonight. So everyone's going to be way behind.
Bucks drop now.
Let's.
No, the Islanders have it. They're out of the zone. They can't be that far behind.
Yeah, you would like to think.
Yeah, now you got me scared because now it's back in the Islanders zone. No, there's another whistle.
Another whistle. Why do they have 2-2 up here?
Maybe they have money on Colorado, too.
The app's got... I would think maybe it's just they didn't change it off of... they didn't change... Maybe they just... The app is slow to not take the other one off the board. I mean, they do get sloppy sometimes, George, with that. But I don't know why they have that. FanDuel. What do they have? It's 2-1, right?
They have 2-1, so
yeah, they have it as 2-1, and they have a number up. So
scary, Mike.
And gotta tell you, Colorado live plus 310 is kind of juicy, especially with the Islanders' track record of
closing
third
period
these games
disaster,
out.
Right? What are we telling everybody? Bet against the Islanders when they have a lead in the third period. It generally does not work.
I mean, I almost really do want to.
I'm already on Colorado twice, man. Do I really want to? You know what? I do want to go back on.
Yeah,
time.
I just don't see how the Islanders get out of this without this game at least being tied. At least I'm tying this game.
And if they get to overtime, by the way, you know Colorado's a skill team. McCarl scored the overtime goal. Okay, just did it. I'm back. I'm on Colorado three times now. I will not go for a fourth, but I'm on
for
three.
You're in for more.
If they can win this, it'll cover my Tampa Bay losses. So that would be nice.
All right. I'm in, George. Look at the two of us betting against our own team.
Well, you're betting what the Islanders do. They don't play well in the third period. They don't lock things down. Plus, Colorado has an offensive team.
Won't be the first time, George, I've bet against them when they've had a lead in the third period. Won't be the first time this year. Usually it comes down.
This game
and they
is
just,
not
it,
ending 2-1. This game is not going to be won with two goals.
I agree. I don't think it's going to be
3-2
finals either. Because you know they're also going to take, at some point here in the next few minutes, they're going to take some stupid penalty. So that's coming down the pike as well against this lethal power play. It'll happen. Elsewhere. Still, I guess the Lightning, man, what a gutless effort from them at home tonight.
Yeah, three kickers on Johansson. He only scored one goal.
Unreal. A terrible job by them. College UCF still leads at Kansas 67-64. That would be a great win for them. Marquette down 7 at the half at Butler. Michigan State now up 13 with 7.5 to go. I mean, they were up 20-plus in that game. So Minnesota has shaved into it a little bit here in the second half. I mean, they are just doing what they want with the puck, George. Look at this. Cross ice, bang, tic-tac-toe stuff.
Yeah, but they're not getting the A opportunity. You know, they're doing pretty good keeping it on the perimeter. They're cycling very well. The Avs, not pucks out of the zone now, but they weren't. The Islanders weren't giving up that A chance. They gave up probably a B one, but we'll have to take that.
So 11.5 to go at the horse track. We'll see if the Islanders can get it through. We will when we come back. I will take a look at a couple numbers with George. I have not even looked at some of the. Obviously, we know the number for the game. At 1.5 and 49.5. But I have not looked at any of the other stuff yet. Touchdown numbers, yardage numbers, things like that. I have not seen anything yet. So I'm going to look at it with George here for the first time and see if we can find something a little early play aside from the crazy stuff that I usually bet, which is all the dopey props. I like the cross sport ones, George, which don't come out till like that weekend. Whoever's the hockey game in the afternoon, goals scored versus someone who, you know, catches in the game. Or, you know, I like all that zany stuff when it comes to the Super Bowl. You have a little fun with it. I did that one. The last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, that Ertz game against the Patriots. Oh, what a cleanup that was. We had such a good night that night with so many of the cross-sport props. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, George Kurtz in for Joe. We're back on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. Great to have you aboard here on the grid. 2-1 still, Islanders, 9.5 to go. Colorado, though, is really putting the pressure on as they have been all over Sorokin. Now the Islanders actually have it at the other end, finally. They iced it, they say here. So I'm going to be a face-off down at the other end. One other thing, George, before I get to some of these numbers that I saw today. Why do they still even have this dopey thing this weekend? With the Pro Bowl or the flag football game or whatever, pushing sleds and like doing, like, why do they even have it? Did you see that? I guess obviously because all these guys have said they don't want to be in the game, that the AFC is going to have Drake May and Russell Wilson there as their quarterbacks. Now, look, there's two ways you can look at this thing. At the end of the day, who cares? Like, I'm not watching anyway. But it's also just something to laugh at and get and just like, be like, oh, you got to be joking. Like, what are we doing here? Drake May and Russell Wilson are Pro Bowlers now because 7 or 8 guys in the AFC decided they didn't want to go and play flag football this week. So we'll send Drake May and Russell Wilson and we'll call them this year's Pro Bowlers. Got to be another way, George. Got to be another way to do it than that.
Like you, I'm not watching the flag football game. Listen, if I'm home and working, whatever, okay, maybe. You know, but other than that, I am not. This is not appointment viewing for me. As far as the skills competition, once again, maybe if I'm home. I might record that, actually, so I can at least get rid of the commercials and watch it, because I think that's somewhat interesting, but I don't care. I just don't care. I don't really care about any of the All-Star games, right? If the NHL is playing an All-Star game, I wouldn't care about that. The Major League Baseball All-Star game, maybe a little bit more. But once again, it's a who cares thing. I don't care who wins and who loses. It doesn't ever make any difference to me. So it is what it is. My guess is they keep it because it makes money. If it didn't make money, it wouldn't be on. It's really that simple here. The networks want to pay for it, so hey, we'll give you something. But when I heard of Russell Wilson, like, oh yeah, he was an All-Star. Sure, Pro Bowler, Russell Wilson, absolutely.
Like, I get naming the team, like, these guys all have this garbage in their contract. You know, making a Pro Bowl gets you $50,000 or gets you $100,000, whatever it is. So I get they got to name the team, but like it's just insulting. You know, that some of the replacements that they put in the week of the game, it's just so silly. Is there anything you've seen in this game that they've put up so far that you like? You know, it's the one game, George. Normally, if you're a prop player, you know, for like a regular season game, it's, you know, for Sunday's games, they're usually not really up till Friday night, Saturday. You know, it's such a different game in that the props and all these other things are up for 2 full weeks. It's 2 full weeks of the anytime touchdowns or the receiving yards and the passing yards of them all getting hit. That sometimes, despite it being so far out, you know, now really is the best time if you want to play any of this stuff, especially the touchdowns, because you know some of them are going to get smashed that whole weekend before the game. You know, I don't think Jalen Hurts is going to be -115 by the time you get to the next weekend. That's going to get completely smashed. So is there anything you look at, George, early on when the game first comes out and they put all this stuff up on the board?
I take a look because of what you said here. I know prices are going to change. People, I own the score again.
Wow. Horvat.
Maybe absolutely toast, but look at that. Look at the Islanders. This will screw things up. They'll now make a trade in and trade away their top 9 draft pick next year. Way to go. Just to lose in the first round like Carolina again. Yay. I do look because, like I said, the price is going to change here. And yeah, Jalen Hurts, anytime touchdown, -115, you got to take that now. That's going up, and that's going to go up significantly. I think that would be -140, -150 by the time Super Bowl Sunday comes around here. So I'm taking that. My favorite bet, prop bet, is Patrick Mahomes pass attempts, 35.5. I don't know if that I didn't see if they changed that. I took that. I think it might have been Monday morning or Sunday night because I just don't see how the Chiefs are going to be able to run the ball on the Eagles. I don't think they're going to. I don't think Kareem Hunt and Pacheco are going to be able to do anything against the Eagles other than try and keep them honest. So I think in order for Kansas City though to move the ball to score, it's going to have to be Patrick Mahomes through the air. So it was 35.5.
36.5.
So it has gone
now
up a little
30.
Bit.
It's gone up to 36. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm taking that. Also, Mahomes, I think he was over, it might have been 26.5, 27, somewhere around there as far as his rushing yardage. I think he gets that. Same thing. If he's dropping back that many times to pass, the Eagles are going to get there at times. He's going to have to run a little bit. I think he gets his rushing yards prop as well. Jalen Hurts was, I think, 39, right around 40 mark. Probably won't take that, but that's going to rise as well. If you think he's going to get over 39, you better take it now. Because I think once again that's going to go up 3-4 yards by the time we get to Super Bowl Sunday.
40
as well.
And a half already. 40.5 up to. So I'm with you. I think that there's a lot of these. You just have to hit them very early on. You know, especially the bigger names. You know, if you're going to play something on DeAndre Hopkins, that's probably not going to change much between now and next Sunday. But Hurts, Mahomes, Barkley, Kelsey, you know, A.J. Brown, you know, the main heavy hitters in the game, they're going to get completely smashed by late next week, and especially that Saturday and Sunday, the weekend of the game. It's going to be very tough. Did they just put up a stat, George, that said the Islanders have allowed
third period goals? Kiss of death.
I'm stunned that that's the case because we know the problems that they've had in the third period this year. I'm also stunned that they haven't taken a penalty yet in the third period and given Colorado a power play. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM 159. We're back. Wrap this puppy up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. Great to have you with us as Colorado gets one back, George. as they broke in. I guess it was Drury who scored. Yeah, no, you knew, you said it, that what was going to happen when they threw that stat up there. So 3-2, and there's still 5 long minutes to go for the Isles at the horse track. And to see if they can get that done. That's a hell of a goal by Drury there. Make it 3-2 for the Isles. I forgot this. You know, I don't like beating up on you with the Cowboy stuff, but we did all that Cowboy stuff earlier, and I forgot to even mention that as the cherry on top, they're bringing in Eberflus to be the defensive coordinator. And look, he's not a bad defensive coordinator. You know, that's why he became a head coach. He's good at that. He's a former Cowboy linebacker coach. But I'm always a guy, George, that I feel when you're getting a head coaching job for the first time, I want to surround myself with guys that, at least one or two guys that were former head coaches in the league that I can lean on for experience. I don't think that Eberflus fits that bill. That's not the kind of guy that I'm looking for in terms of head coaching experience to lean off of. Somebody with a little different head coaching experience than Matt Eberflus.
You know what? They waited so long, their options were limited, right? They took a week off when the season started because they were negotiating with Mike McCarthy here.
We got Rex.
No, he's another guy. No chance. Even if he was still really, really good. And by the way, I love how he openly promotes himself for all these jobs on, Countdown on ESPN. That must drive ESPN crazy, by the way, that these guys do that. Robert Griffin did the same thing when he was at ESPN trying to get a starting quarterback job. It's just weird. But once again, he shines too bright. Jerry Jones is not hiring that. Yeah, he's not. He's not hiring anybody who's going to take away the publicity from him. Jerry Jones, one thing he loves is after every game, win, lose, or draw, he gets to have his little media scrum. And he loves that. And if Rex Ryan was there or if Deion Sanders was there, guess what? The media might go to them and not Jerry because they might say something more, you know, more headline-ish than Jerry does. So Ryan never had a snowball's chance in hell of becoming coach, becoming defensive coordinator, PR man, special teams guy. No, it was never going to happen.
He is the only general manager or owner in the league that does a press conference after every game. After every game, got to get down in that hallway, get all the cameras out, talk about what happened. That is a Jerry specialty there. So Eberflus down in Dallas as well. They go to the break. 3-2, Islanders are trying to hold on here against the Avalanche. Elsewhere tonight, pretty much everything else from early's done. 4-0 Hurricanes beat the Rangers. 4-1 Blackhawks beat the Lightning. That was gutless. 4-1 Jets beat the Canadiens. 7-2 Sabres thumped the Bruins. Caps lead 1-0 on the Flames. End of one. So one more time before we go, George. Dallas and Vegas starting in about 5 minutes. Ducks and the Kraken starting in about 5 minutes. I like the under in the Dallas-Vegas game. That's usually a good way to play those two getting together.
Agreed. I'm on that as well. I took Dallas also here. I got to make up some losses tonight here. And in Anaheim, Seattle, by the way, none of these do I feel great about. These are just, you know, like I said, I don't want to say fun bets. It's money. But these are just little bets here. Watch the game, see what happens here. Maybe you got your break here. I'll take the over Anaheim, Seattle. I took Seattle, but once again, this is a – it's a coin flip. You want to take Anaheim, I'm good with that too. And as Matthias told us, I think during one of the breaks, the last time these two teams played, I think Anaheim beat up Seattle. So maybe I should have listened.
Anaheim has gotten a little better this year. You know, they're not in that bottom barrel shark Blackhawk territory. You know, they're kind of in that next tier what up. It's still a mediocre, less than mediocre, middle of the league tier, but they were in the bottom for the last few years, so they're finally starting to make some moves there in Anaheim. All right, George, I will see you next week. George will be with me. Actually, will be the last Carver and Lisi before the Super Bowl because we're not on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. So me and George will do all the picks for this show next Tuesday night, heading into the Chiefs and the Eagles. I'll be back. Joe will be with me the rest of this week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Matthias will be back as well. Great job by him tonight. Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Cash some tickets. See you tomorrow on The Grid.